Called My Back Pages, and I usually open up my shows with it because I kind of take people through my back pages. A couple of years ago, I was playing at the Old Town School of Folk Music, and they asked me if I'd go over and teach a class while I was there, and I said sure. So my wife and I went over to this class, and it was all these little children. Their guitars were bigger than they were, and Camilla said, you know, Roger's been playing professionally for over 50 years. They got this glazed look in their eye. She said, well, that's half a hundred. They got even more glazed. And then I played a couple of songs for him, and one little girl turned to the other and said, wow, he's awesome. The other girl said, yeah, well, he's been playing for 55 million years. I started off with a Bob Dylan song. I'm going to do another one. This is one that Bob sent to us down in Nashville when we were recording the Sweetheart of the Rodeo album. Yeah. He was up in Woodstock doing some recordings that eventually became the Basement Tapes, and this was one of the songs on that. And he sent a couple of songs down in Nashville. I'm sure you recognize the chorus goes, ooh-wee, right behind, tomorrow's the day my bride don't come. Oh, no, I'll be gone by down in the easy chair. Ooh, right behind. Tomorrow's the day my bride's gonna come. Oh, no, I'll be gone by down in the easy chair. Not so swift, rain won't blip. Gates won't close, the river's cold. Get you mine on winter time, and you ain't going nowhere. Ooh, right behind, tomorrow's the day my bride's gonna come. Oh, I'll be gonna fly down in the easy chair. I don't care how many letters they say, the morning came, the morning went. Pick up your money, pack up your tent. You ain't going nowhere. Ooh, we're riding high. Tomorrow's the day my bride's gonna come. Oh, no, are we gonna fly down in the easy chair? Biggest car he could not keep. All his kings supplied to sleep. We climb that hill no matter how steep. When we get up to the song now that I wrote for a low-budget motorcycle movie. best friend of mine was putting together a biker flick, and he wanted to save money on the budget, so he dubbed his rock and roll records onto the soundtrack, and it sounded really good. But he wanted a song that was custom written for the movie, like a theme song. And so he took it, he flew to from LA to New York and screened it for Bob Dylan, hoping Bob would write him a theme song. Bob sat there in the screening room and wrote down some notes on a little paper napkin. He said, "Here, give this to McGuinn. He'll know what to do with it." So Peter Fonda took the napkin. He got back on a plane in New York and flew out to LA. And he came over to my house, and this napkin was like the Holy Grail. He presented it to me like, "Bob wants you to have this now." I looked at it, it said, "The river flows, it flows to the sea. Wherever that river goes, that's where I want to be. Flow, river, flow." So I got my guitar out and made up a tune for it, finished off the words, and we called it The Ballad of Easy Rider. The river flows to the sea. Wherever that river goes, that's where I want to be. Flow, river, flow. Let your waters wash down, take me from this road, feel the sun of the town. All he wanted was to be free, and that's the way it turned out to be. Flow, let your waters wash down, take me from this road. When the movie came out and the soundtrack album came out, I gave Bob a half credit on the song. And about 3 weeks later, I got a call at 2 o'clock in the morning. It was Bob. He said, "What's this credit? I don't need the money. You can take it off." I said, "Okay." What a guy. This is another song that was, this is one of Peter Fonda's record collection songs that was on the Easy Rider soundtrack. I'd rather go venture where the dam and Christmas growing, run across the valley, maybe in the sacred land, and wander through the forest. Where the trees have leaves of prison that break the light of colors that no one knows the names of. And when it's time I go away, beside a legendary fountain, till I see your form reflected in its clear and jeweled waters, if you think I am ready. Maybe to the chasm where the rivers of our vision flow into one another. Peter Fonda wanted me to record for the soundtrack of the Easy Rider film. Mm-hmm. Darkness at the break of noon shatters even the silver spoon. The handmade blade, the child's balloon, eclipses both the sun and moon. You understand, you don't consume. There is no sense in trying. Left a storm, suicide remarks are torn from the fools go back, peace the hollow horn. These wasted words have proved a warn. He not busy being born, is busy dying. So don't fear when you hear a foreign sound to your ear. It's alright, I'm only sighing. Temptation page flies out the door. You follow, find yourself at war. Watch waterfalls of pity roll. If you the moon, but unlike the falls, you discover that you just be one more person crying. For men that must obey authority, they do not respect in any degree. You despise the job, their destiny. Speak generously, you then that are free. Do what they do just to be nothing more than something they invest in. And though the master make the rules for the wise men and the fools, it's alright, Mom, I'm only sighing. There is a dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is as vast as space and timeless as infinity. It is a middle ground between science and superstition, and lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. It's the fifth dimension. And here's a little song I wrote about it for the Birds' fifth dimension album. Thank you. What's it really about? That's kind of spacey. So I'm going to do another spacey song for you. Songs and Friends album that I love in San Francisco. Last night, in the middle of a dream, bad Russian girl. Ferlinghetti with his Coney Island mind. And you and me with some time to fill. We ate in Chinatown, we rode the cable car. We did what tourists always do. But in the dream, you were a movie star. And I was someone too. Was that the two of us in love? Why did it end so soon? I don't believe in falling out of love. I never met the man in the moon. If it's so hard to find the key, it's not the singer, it's the tune. Sun high in the California sky. We walk the beach around Monterey. True confessions in a Sausalito bar. The window shining across the bay. The age of innocence and searching in the dark. For what we had never seen. And we could taste the sweetness of our life. In bitter mescaline. Was that the two of us in love? Why did it end so soon? I don't believe in falling out of love. I never met a man in the moon. If it's so hard to find the key, it's not the singer, it's the tune. Well, it's that silly season again. It happens every 4 years when folks go around trying to get elected to president. Got a song for that. I want to grow up to be a politician and take over this beautiful land. I want to grow up to be a politician and be the old U.S. of A. Number one man, I'll always be tough. but I'll never be scary. Won't you come? Oh, but in my prayer, I'll work on the town, I'll cultivate the prairie, and you can believe the future's ahead. I'll give the young the right to vote as soon as they mature. Let's spare the rod and spoil the child to help them feel secure. And if I win election day, I might give you a job. I'll sign a bill to help the poor, to show I'm not a snob. I'll open my doors, charge you no admission. You can be sure I'll give you my hand. I want to grow up to be a politician and take hold for this beautiful land. I'll make you glad you got me in with everything I do, and I'll defend until the end the old red, white, and blue. I want to grow up to be a politician and take over this beautiful land. And take over this beautiful land. Going to do a new song about an old movie. So my wife and I put this song together based on the 1940 release of Grapes of Wrath with Henry Fonda. I live in Malibu, California, and down the street from me lived Bob Dylan. Bob used to come over to my house from time to time, and we'd hang out. And one time we were shooting baskets over the garage in the backyard, and he said something. He said, I'm going to do something different. Now, Bob Dylan's saying he wants to do something different. It's like, let's go to Mars. So I said, what do you mean? He said, I don't know, something like a circus. I said, okay. That's all he said. We went back to shooting baskets. A couple of months later, I was on the road with my band and had quite a few dates all booked in the eastern United States. And I had some time off in New York City. I went down to Greenwich Village, where I used to live, and went to a club I used to hang out at. And in the back room, there was a table, and my old friend Chuck Levy, who was a Broadway director and a songwriter with me, was sitting there with Bob Dylan. We were having a couple of brandies. And Chuck's very dramatic because of his Broadway affiliation. So when I walked in the room, he threw the table over and the brandies went flying in the air like an old Western movie. And he said, Roger, we were just talking about you. We're putting this tour together and we'd like you to go out on it. I said, I don't know if I can. I got these dates booked with my band. And I went, oh man, that's too bad. So the next day I called up my agent and asked if I could postpone the dates. And he said, yeah, you could. So I called Bob back again and said, yeah, I can do the tour. So I went to Studio Instrument Rental where we were having rehearsals and we worked on it and got going. And Bob borrowed this bus from Frank Zappa. Yeah, well, see, back in the Birds, when we went touring in buses, we rented a Continental Trailways bus with all the seats in it and a driver with a cap like a policeman, and he scared us. So we kind of hide out in the back of the bus. Well, Frank Zappa was smarter than that. He bought a Greyhound bus and he gutted it. He took all the seats out and put a bedroom in the back and bunks in the middle and a kitchen and TVs and couches, and it was beautiful. And of course, all the tour buses are like that now, but this is the first one I saw. This is back in 75. And so we had that. Now, Joan Baez was in the back, in the bedroom, because she was the queen of folk music. And I had a bunk in the middle, and so did Mick Ronson and T-Bone Burnett. And Joni Mitchell used to ride up in the front. And she had a book full of songs. It was one of these kids' books, like with a black and white speckled cover with the lines in it. And she had about 25 new songs in it. She'd write songs about anything she saw. She'd see the white lines on the highway, she'd write down white lines on the highway. And I was getting ready to do an album for Columbia Records called Cardiff Rose, and I had most of the songs ready to go, but I needed a couple more to round it out. So I went up and sat next to Joni on the couch, and I said, hey Joni, you got any spare songs? She said, well, McGuinn, I got one song you might be able to use, but you might not be comfortable with the line in it. I said, what's that? She said, I wrapped their flag around me like a Dorothy Lamour sarong. I said, I can work with that. So it came out like this. It's on my Cardiff Rose album. It's a long, long way from Canada. Long way from snow chains. Don't give in this place to go here. No America loves you, Mary. Black babies covered in bacon flour, and a carnival song, lay down some very shady whipped cream land coming out. Dreamland, 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 dreamland. So what a Romeo and Chris Columbus, come marching out of the waves. Claim the beach and all concessions in the name of the Montana slaves. And I wrap their flag around me like an arrow twin sarong. Lay down the national dreamland coming out. Dreamland, 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 dreamland. Tanner and the lady soldier all dressed up to follow the drum. Mary with a feathered hula hoop, Miss Fortune with a rose and her big game gun. All saints, all sinners shine, those crickets all night long. Pop up on a samba beat, the dreamland coming on. Dreamland, 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 dreamland. Darby and the great white woman talking over a glass of rum, burning on the inside with the knowledge of things to come. And there's gambling out on the terrace at night, rambling on the lawn, and singing to our temptation with dreams that come on. Dreamland, dreamland, dreamland. On a plane flying back a winter, with shoes full of tropic sand, there comes a lady dressed in a thorny flag, calling on a Margot man. The hawk howls in New York City, 6 foot drifts on Myrtle's lawn. Push the reclaim buttons down with dreamland coming on. of sea shanties, and a couple of years ago I put out an album of sea shanties, and we were going to call it 23 Songs of the Sea, because it was 23 sea shanties, but decided to shorten it down to just three letters, C, C, D, you know, like IBM or LSD. And this is one of the songs on it. It's about a ship that was based in Maui that went up to the Kamchatka region of Russia to fish and came back down here. 6 months up there fishing, 6 months here. It's pretty cool to get back home. It's a mighty tough life, but I have strength. We fish and we really don't care when the gale is done, how hard them winds did blow. We're homeward bound on the Arctic grounds with a good ship out and free. And we'll have our fun when we drink our rum with the girls of old Maui. Going down to old Maui, my boys, pulling down to old Maui. We're homeward bound on the Arctic grounds, pulling down. More we sail with the northerly gale through the ice and wind and rain. Down in coconut front, in tropical lands, we soon shall see again. 6 brutal months have passed away on the cold Kamchatka Sea. And now we're bound for the Arctic ground, pulling down to old Maui. Pulling down to old Maui, my boy, pulling down to old Maui. We're homeward bound from the Arctic ground, pulling down to old Maui. Once more we sail with the northerly gale, heading to our island home. Our main mast sprung, our fishing done, and we ain't got far to go. Stem cell bones just carry the weight, what care we for that sound? The living gale is after us, thank God we're homeward bound. Rolling down to old Maui, the boys pulling down to old Maui. Here homeward bound from the Arctic ground, pulling down to old Maui. Pulling down to old Maui, the boys pulling down. Oh, Maui, we're homeward bound from the Arctic ground, going down to old Maui. Well, Bob Dylan was in a movie called Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid in the early 70s, and with Chris Christopherson, James Coburn, directed by Sam Peckinpah. And Sam wanted Bob to do the score, the film score of the movie. So when he got back from Mexico where they shot the film, he invited me to go to the film studio with him and do the score. And I brought my Rickenbacker Electric 12 and my five-string banjo and did quite a few songs on the film score. They put the film up on a screen and kind of play along with it. It's really fun. And this is one of the songs we did. And it turns out it's one of my favorite Bob Dylan songs ever. I'ma take this badge off of me. I don't need it anymore. It's getting dark, too dark to see. I feel like I'm knocking on heaven's door. Sing it with me. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Take a 15-minute break. So you go do what you have to do for about 15 minutes, and I'll stay up here and practice, all right? Or maybe I'll go over there and practice. I'll see you in about 15 minutes. Song I co-wrote with Chris Hillman back in 1967. And it's funny, when I do it these days, people go, "Wow, he's doing that Tom Petty song." I love Tom Petty. I remember the first time I met him was back in 1976, and I was getting ready to do an album called Thunderbird for Columbia Records. And again, I had most of the songs ready to go, but I needed a couple of outside songs to fill it in. So my manager was around the corner, and he had a tape recorder and a record player, and he's putting on different things. I couldn't see what he was putting on. And he put on this song that sounded like my vocal. And I was kidding him. I said, when did I record that? He said, it isn't you. And I said, I know. It's a great song. I would remember the song. Who is it? He said, it's this new guy, Tom Petty. I said, I want to meet him. So the next day I got to meet Tom, and we got to be friends. We went on the road together, went up and down the East Coast and toured. And this is a song. I put it on my Thunderbird album. Yes, you was an American girl. Pretty as all across the country. Couldn't help thinking there was a little more to life somewhere else. After all, it was a great big world with lots of places to run to. And if she hadn't died, cried she had one little cry. She was still the king. Whoa, yeah. Alright, take it as a favor, make it a last all night. She was an American girl. Sing that chorus with me. Whoa, yeah. Alright, take it as a favor, make it a last all night. She was, yeah, an American girl. Well, it was kind of cold that night. Alone on the balcony, she could hear the cars roll by. That old boy would like when it's crashing on the beach. And for one desperate moment there, he slipped back in the memory. Oh, so painful when something that seems so close is so out of reach. Here we go. Well, yeah, alright. Take it easy, baby, make it a last all night. She was an American girl. Do it again now. Whoa, yeah, alright. Take it easy, baby, make it a last all night. She was an American girl. I didn't see Tom for a while after that, and then my wife Camilla and I went to a Tom Petty concert in Tampa, Florida, and it was in a sports arena, and people were throwing frisbees, and one of them sailed down out of the bleachers and hit my wife in the eye. It wasn't serious, it was just a little ding, but the promoter thought somebody ought to take a look at it, so we went backstage. They had a doctor back there, and just as we were going backstage, Tom and the Heartbreakers were getting off the bus and going to the dressing room, and Tom was in the hall. He saw me. Said, Roger McGuinn, you got to come up on stage and do some songs with me. This is Tampa, Florida in the middle of the summer. I was wearing white shorts and a red Hawaiian shirt. I looked more like I was going to a Jimmy Buffett concert. But I got up and I did a couple of songs with him anyway. And the next day, he invited us out to the hotel where he was staying on the beach with his family. And his daughters were quite young at that time. We were all flying kites on the beach. And he said, you know, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to go to Europe and tour with Bob Dylan. I said, oh, you're going to have so much fun, man. He said, well, I'll ask Bob if you can come along. I said, okay. So the next day he called up. He said, yeah, I talked to Bob. He said, bring him along. He can be the opening act. Well, the way the tour was structured, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers were the house band. So they came out and backed me up on some Bird songs, and then they did their set, and then they backed Bob up on his stuff, and we all got together at the end and sang Knockin' on Heaven's Door. And the last day of the tour, George Harrison joined us in England on Knockin' on Heaven's Door. Well, while we were out on the tour, Tom had this book he was reading. It was an autobiography by John Phillips of the Mamas and Papas. Now, I'd known John and Michelle Phillips in Greenwich Village. We, in fact, lived in the same kind of cheap hotel. It was $3 a night, called the Earl Hotel in Waverly Place. And I used to hang out with them. I'd go down to their, they were on the second floor, I was up on the seventh floor, and I'd hang out with them all the time. So I wanted to read the book, too. And, well, it was $3 a night. It's a hotel. It's about as much as you could make passing the hat around in the coffee house. So that was why we stayed there. So I read the book, and we were comparing notes, and Tom and I thought, you know, this would be good material for a song. So we wrote this song based on Papa John, the autobiography of John Phillips. And I recorded it on my Back from Rio album, and Tom helped me out with it, sang it on it. Here's a song from the Byrds' untitled album about a boy chasing after a chestnut mare. Standing over there in a clearing. So I snuck up to her and I said, "Ethan," waited for the wind to blow just the right way, got my rope out and I flung it in the air. I'm gonna catch that horse if I can, and when I do, I'll give her my brand. Well, I got her. I'm pulling on her. inches pulling back like a mule trying to climb up a ladder. I take a chance and I jump up on it. Land right on top the first time. She takes off, running up under that ridge, higher than I've ever been before. We're running along fine, and then she sees a sidewinder all coiled up, ready to strike. She doesn't know what to do, so she spooks, jumps off the edge, me holding on. Jacques Levy and I were doing this country rock musical. It's going to be based on Ibsen's Peer Gynt. And we wrote about 26 songs for that play. Most of them ended up on Bird's record, so the play never got on Broadway. So that's where it came from. Now, I don't know if you can tell from where you're sitting, but this guitar's got an extra string on it. It's a 7-string guitar. And there are other 7-string guitars around. Most of them have a string higher than this, like this. Or a lower string than this, down and bottom. But this has got one in the middle, so it's got two G strings, a regular G string and a high one. So you can play 12 string riffs up and down the neck, like. Flexible than the 12 string, you can bend it like, or play a little riff slide. So it's kind of like a Swiss Army knife of a guitar. I had the Martin Company build me one in their custom shop, and well, it was still sitting there ready to ship couple other guitar players came in and tried it out and said, hey, I like this too. So they made a whole run of them called the Roger McGuinn HD7. And if you get one of these, you'll be able to play this right out of the box. Tell you how I got my job with Bobby Darin. I was playing with the Chad Mitchell Trio. I was with them for a couple of years, and we toured South America for 90 days. And when we got back to the States, we played at the Crescendo Club in Hollywood, opening up for Lenny Bruce. It was a pretty cool gig. And Lenny was hilarious when he wasn't in jail. And Bobby Darin was out in the audience. I guess he came to see Lenny, but he saw the Chad Mitchell set. So he came backstage after the show and he came up to me and said, hey, I liked what you were doing up there. I'm thinking about putting a folk segment in my act and I'd like to hire you. And I said, well, I've already got a job with the Chad Mitchell Trio. He said, what are they paying you? And I told him, he said, I'll double it. I said, okay. So I started working for Bobby Darin. It was a great gig because he'd come out and go, splish, splash, I'm taking a bath. And do this rock and roll thing for about 15 minutes. And he'd bring me out and I'd play folk songs behind him and sing harmony. And then I'd leave and he'd do his like Mac the Knife and Frank Sinatra's stuff. And it was a great gig. But his voice started to bother him. So he took a break from performing, opened up a publishing company in the Brill Building, and he hired me as a songwriter. And my job was to listen to the radio and write songs like the ones already out there. So, back in that time, Jan and Dean and Beach Boys were happening, so I thought I'd take a little stab at surf music. I came up with a surf song, and I took it down the hall to Bobby and played it for him. And he liked it. He picked up the phone, and he booked a studio downstairs in the Brill Building. And he played drums on this thing, and I played guitar, and my friend Frank Gehry played piano. And we all kind of shouted and clapped our hands, and hey, made a record. I'll give you a little sample if you won't laugh too hard, okay? Summer's here, and it's time to have a party. We're going to the beach, we're going to have a beach ball. Got a car full of hot dogs and a truck full of soda. We're going to keep it swimming until next fall. Oh, we're having a beach ball. Everybody's feeling fine. Oh, we're gonna have a beach party. Could you find a better way to spend the summer time? Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, we're having a beach ball. Everybody's feeling fine. Oh, we're gonna have a beach party. Could you find a better way? So Bobby got us a record deal on his label, Capitol Records, and we had to come up with a name for the group. So we thought about it. We said, oh, what about the City Surfers? Because we're all from the city and we didn't know how to surf. And so it came out on Capitol Records. It's probably one of the shortest-lived acts in show business. Got some airplay in New York City, not much else. But some years later, I was down at the Criteria Studio in Miami recording with McGuinn, Clark, and Hillman. And while I was in the studio, the next studio over, the Bee Gees were in there. And they came up to me and said, hey, we sang background on a song you wrote. And I couldn't imagine a song I'd written the Bee Gees would have sung on. He said, yeah, it was called Beach Ball. It was number 6 in Australia. Well, right about that time, I was back in the Brill Building listening to the radio, and this came over the airwaves. Oh yeah, I'm doing something I think you'll understand. The Beatles were using folk music chord changes in their rock and roll. Wow, that's a cool idea. So it gave me an idea of taking an old folk song like, oh, the water is wide, I cannot cross over, and neither have I wings to fly, and putting a Beatle beat to it like, the water is wide, and I cannot cross over, and neither have I wings to fly. Lift me up, can't carry two, and both shall roam, my love and I. So I took that kind of souped-up folk music down to Greenwich Village and played it for the people in the coffee houses. They didn't like it. But the guy who ran the coffee house loved it. He put a sign outside the door that said, Beatle impersonations. And the tourist buses were coming in. Boy, I thought, man, it's time to get out of New York. So I went out to Hollywood and got a job at the Troubadour Folk Club, opening up for Hoyt Axton. Now, I'd known Hoyt before. In fact, I sang on his first album, The Balladeer. We did a song called Brisbane Ladies. And that was the first time I got to sing on a record. He gave me a break because I just played guitar and banjo on records before. So Hoyt and I were old buddies, and he was doing great, and I was doing folk songs with the Beatle beat. The audience just didn't like it. They didn't like it. Well, one guy in the audience did like it. He came backstage and said, hey, I get what you're doing. I like the Beatles, and I like folk songs. Let's write some songs and see what happens. So Gene Clark and I sat down in the front room of the Troubadour and started writing songs. And this is one of the first songs we came up with. It was later recorded by a group called the Turtles. They got a number six hit with it.
You show me how to do exactly what you do, how I fell in love with you. Oh, it's true, I'm in love with you. And you show me how to say exactly what you say in that very special way.
Songs in the front room of the Troubadour every day. And one day this chubby little guy walked in and started singing harmony with us. And it sounded good. He said, I want to be in your band. I said, well, we don't really have a band, David. We're just writing some songs here. He said, ah, come on, man. If I could be in your band, I know this guy's got a recording studio we could use for free. I said, you're in. So David Crosby took us over to meet his friend Jim Dixon, who was a producer, engineer at World Pacific Records in Hollywood. And Jim kind of took us under his wing. He became our manager right away. And he let us play on the tape machines after all the sessions were over at World Pacific. And that's when we discovered that we needed more instrumentation. We needed a bass player and a drummer to sound like a rock and roll band. So we saw this guy walking in front of the Troubadour, looked just like two of the Rolling Stones. We said, let's get him. Got Michael Clark to come over. I said, hey, you know how to play the drums? So, well, I play a little congas, man. Good enough. We got some cardboard boxes and taped a tambourine on top of them. got him some drumsticks, and he learned how to play drums on that. And then we had this $35 bass that we picked up, and we got Chris Hillman to come over from Westwood. He was in a bluegrass band called the Scottsville Squirrel Barkers. And we gave him the bass and said, here, figure this out. And he went, okay. He had it right away. He's a great mandolin picker, a great guitar player. So we had a bass player and kind of a drummer. And we were looking for some good instruments. We had the cardboard boxes, acoustic guitar, a $35 bass. So we went to see the Beatles movie, A Hard Day's Night, and copied down what the Beatles were playing. So, okay, Ringo Starr has Ludwig drums. We got to get some Ludwig drums. George Harrison had a Gretsch guitar. We got to get a Gretsch guitar. John Lennon had a Rickenbacker. We got to get a Rickenbacker. And then George came out with another Rickenbacker. It looked like a six string from the front. But when he turned sideways, you could see six other tuning pegs sticking out the back. I went, oh, that's an electric 12 string. I got to get one of those. So we got a loan, and we traded in my acoustic guitar and a five string banjo and some cash and got one of those Rickenbacker electric 12s like that. So we had good instruments, but we were looking for a name. Sitting at the Thanksgiving table, just trying to cook up a name. Somebody said, what about the Birdsies? I said, oh no, that's too cute. We couldn't use that. They said, well, what about the Birds? Well, this is 1964. Birds was slang for girls in England. We didn't want to be the girls. They said, that's simple. You just change the spelling. What about B-U-R-D-S? Ooh. So we came up with a Y and we got a name. Now, Jim Dixon arranged for us to audition for this big agent in Hollywood named Benny Shapiro. So we went over to Benny's house and sang a couple of songs, and we didn't know it, but he had a teenage daughter upstairs. She came running down the stairs all excited. Daddy, Daddy, who's that? She thought the Beatles were in her living room. The next day, Miles Davis came over to talk to Benny because it was his agent. And Miles is sitting there. Benny says, you know, a funny thing happened last night. These kids came over to audition, and my daughter flipped out. She thought they were great. Miles said, well, kids have a way of knowing things like that. So he picked up the phone and he called Columbia Records. He said, you know that rock band you've been looking for? I think I got them for you. And they signed us on his recommendation. But Columbia Records was very conservative in 1964. They had classical music, Broadway show tunes, Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet, and Doris Day. That was it. They didn't have any rock and roll. And they're a little bit scared of it. So the deal they gave us was for one single. And if we got a hit with that single, we could go back in the studio and record the rest of the album. So nobody thought any of our songs were strong enough. And Jim Dixon had overheard a couple of record producers in Hollywood talking about Bob Dylan, saying, gee, it's a shame Bob can't use that great new song you just wrote because somebody was singing out of tune on it. They sent to New York and got a copy of this demo sent out from Whitmark and Sons, Bob Publishing Company at the time. And we all sat around on the floor of the World Pacific Studio listening to this demo. It was about 4 minutes and 13 seconds long. And here's what we heard. You got 4 minutes? Yeah. Sounded like this. Hey, there's a tambourine that plays a song for me. My sweet hand is no place I'm going to. Hey, Mrs. Hammery, that rhythm's gone for me. In a single tango morning after 5 years. The lonely bend in my eyes, a rhythm in the sand. And fetch from my hand, a bit lightly in. Standing but still not sleeping. Now when it amazes me, I'm grounded on my feet. I have no one to meet, and later come these streets to death are dreaming. Hey, Mrs. Hammery, man, play a song for me. My sweet man, there is no place I'm going to. Hey, Mrs. Hammery, man, play a song for me. In a jingle-jangle morning after. Follow you and take me for a trip upon your magic swirling ship. is having a spear. My hands can feel the grip. My toes too numb to step. Wait only for my boogies to be wandering. I'm ready to go anywhere. I'm ready for the beat. Only to my own degree. As the dancers fill my way, I promise to go anywhere. Frozen leaves, a frightened haunted tree, out to the windy beach, back from the twisted reach of crazy sorrow. I'll dance beneath the diamond sky with one hand waving free, silhouetted by the sea, circled by the surface sand, with all memory and pain. Till I'm deep and made the waves that we forget about today. It's not even anyone. It's just a skating on the run. And but for the skies, there are no faces facing. And if you have a trace in the skipping reels of rap for your tambourine and pie, I wouldn't pay it any mind. It's just a ragged clown behind. And it's a shadow that you're seeing that he's chasing. Hey, there's a tambourine and play a song for me. I'm not sleepy and there's no place I'm going to. Hey, there's a tambourine and play a song for me. In the jingle jangle, morning I've come following you. David Crosby said, I don't like it, man. He said that pokey 2/4 time is not going to play on the radio. Well, he was right. They were playing the Beatles and the Stones. They weren't playing a lot of folk music anymore. So I had an idea of how to fix that song up for radio. I've been playing around on my guitar with a little Bach. I thought, what if I put something like that on the front and the back for an intro and an outro? And we cut it down to one verse and kick it up with a beat. It might come out okay for radio. Came out like. It worked out okay. Got a number one hit in 13 countries and got to tour England. It was really exciting. Went over to where the Beatles and the Stones were, and we got to meet them and hang out with them at parties. And on the way home, we wanted to write a song about the tour. Gene Clark and I were sitting next to each other on the airplane. And Gene said, "How high do you think this plane is flying?" I said, "Oh, probably about 39,000 feet, maybe 7 miles high." He said, "Seven, huh?" Because the Beatles had a song I called 8 Days a Week. He thought the number 8 was cooler than 7. I said, "Well, we can change it to 8 miles high. Who's going to care? It's poetic license, right?" Well, I was wrong about that, because when the radio stations got a hold of it, they got a calculator out. And they did the math. And they said, "Wait a minute. Commercial airliners don't fly 8 miles high. They must be talking about some other kind of high, man." Over the years, the song has evolved. It's got a little bit of John Coltrane, some Ravi Shankar, and some Andre Segovia thrown in just for fun. Thank you. Six-show tour in all the islands, or four islands. And I'm going to sing a song the sailors used to sing when they would leave the ship, and it's kind of wistful because the ship had been their home for a long time. I thought I heard the old man say, "Leave her, jolly leave her. It's a long ago for your next payday. It's time for us to leave her. Leave her, Johnny, leave her. Oh, leave her, Johnny, leave her. For the voyage is done, the winds don't blow, and it's time for us to leave her." Can you sing that chorus with me? "Leave her, Johnny, leave her. And now it's time to say goodbye. That was a song I co-wrote with Chris Hillman back in 1967. And it's funny, when I do it these days, people go, "Wow, he's doing that Tom Petty song." I love Tom Petty. I remember the first time I met him was back in 1976, and I was getting ready to do an album called Thunderbird for Columbia Records. And again, I had most of the songs ready to go, but I needed a couple of outside songs to fill it in. So my manager was around the corner, and he had a tape recorder and a record player, and he's putting on different things. I couldn't see what he was putting on. And he put on this song that sounded like my vocal. And I was kidding him. I said, "When did I record that?" He said, "It isn't you." And I said, "I know. It's a great song. I would remember the song." "Who is it?" He said, "It's this new guy, Tom Petty." I said, "I want to meet him." So the next day I got to meet Tom, and we got to be friends. We went on the road together, went up and down the East Coast and toured. And this is a song. Put it on my Thunderbird album.
Yeah, she was an American girl. Maybe it's all from the face. Couldn't help thinking there was a little more to life somewhere else. After all, it was a great big world with lots of places to run to. And if she had to die, she had one little crown. She was gonna keep. Whoa, yeah. All right. Take it as a baby. Make it last all night. She was an American girl.
Sing that chorus with me.
Whoa, yeah. All right. Take it as a baby. Make it last all night. She was,
yeah.
An American girl. Well, it was kind of cold that night. She stood alone on her balcony. She could hear the cars go by. And on 41, like when it's crashing on the beach. And for one desperate moment there, he slipped back in her memory. Oh, so painful when something that seems so close is so out of reach.
Here we go.
Well, yeah. All right, take it easy, baby. Make it last all night. She was an American girl.
Do it again.
Whoa, yeah. All right, take it easy, baby. Make it last all night. She was an American girl.
I didn't see Tom for a while after that, and then my wife Camilla and I went to a Tom Petty concert in Tampa, Florida, and it was in a sports arena, and people were throwing frisbees, and one of them sailed down out of the bleachers and hit my wife in the eye. It wasn't serious, it was just a little ding, but the promoter thought somebody ought to take a look at it, so we went backstage. They had a doctor back there, and just as we were going backstage, Tom and the Heartbreakers were getting off the bus and going to the dressing room, and Tom was in the hall. He saw me. Said, "Roger McGuinn, you got to come up on stage and do some songs with me." This is Tampa, Florida in the middle of the summer. I was wearing white shorts and a red Hawaiian shirt. I looked more like I was going to a Jimmy Buffett concert. But I got up and I did a couple of songs with him anyway. And the next day, he invited us out to the hotel where he was staying on the beach with his family. And his daughters were quite young at that time. We were all flying kites on the beach. And he said, "You know, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to go to Europe and tour with Bob Dylan." I said, "Oh, you're going to have so much fun, man." He said, "Well, I'll ask Bob if he can come along." I said, "Okay." So the next day he called up, he said, yeah, I talked to Bob. He said, bring him along. He can be the opening act. Well, the way the tour was structured, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers were the house band. So they came out and backed me up on some Bird songs. And then they did their set. And then they backed Bob up on his stuff. And we all got together at the end and sang Knockin' on Heaven's Door. And the last day of the tour, George Harrison joined us in England on Knockin' on Heaven's Door. Well, while we were out on the tour, Tom had this book he was reading. It was an autobiography by John Phillips of the Mamas and Papas. Now, I'd known John and Michelle Phillips in Greenwich Village. We, in fact, lived in the same kind of cheap hotel. It was $3 a night, called the Earl Hotel in Waverly Place. And I used to hang out with them. I'd go down to their, they were on the second floor, I was up on the seventh floor, and I'd hang out with them all the time. So I wanted to read the book too. And, well, it was $3 a night, but it's a hotel. It's about as much as you could make passing the hat around in the coffee house. So that was why we stayed there. So I read the book, and we were comparing notes, and Tom and I thought, you know, this would be good material for a song. So we wrote this song based on Papa John, the autobiography of John Phillips. And I recorded it on my Back from Rio album, and Tom helped me out with it, sang it on it. Here's a song from the Byrds' untitled album about a boy chasing after a chestnut mare. And when I us up on Stony Ridge after this chestnut mare. I chased her for weeks now. I catch a little glimpse of her every once in a while. She'd be off taking a meal or bathing. She was a real fine lady. One day I saw her standing over there in a clearing. So I snuck up to her and I said, "Easy." Waited for the wind to blow just the right way. Got my rope out and I flung it in the air. I am gonna catch that horse if I can. And when I do, I give her my brand. Oh, I got her. I'm pulling on her. She's pulling back like a mule trying to climb up a ladder. I take a chance and I jump up on her. Land right on top the first time. She takes off, running up onto that ridge, higher than I've ever been before. We're running along fine, and then she sees a sidewinder all coiled up, ready to strike. She doesn't know what to do, so she spooks, jumps off the edge, we hold it on.
Jacques Levy and I were doing this country rock musical. It's going to be based on Ibsen's Peer Gynt. And we wrote about 26 songs for that play. Most of them ended up on Bird's record, so the play never got on Broadway. So that's where it came from. Now, I don't know if you can tell from where you're sitting, but this guitar's got an extra string on it. It's a 7-string guitar. And there are other 7-string guitars around. Most of them have a string higher than this, like this. Or a lower string than this, down and bottom. But this has got one in the middle, so it's got two G strings, a regular G string, and a high one. So you can play 12 string riffs up and down the neck like. Flexible than a 12 string, you can bend it like, or play a little riff slide. So it's kind of like a Swiss Army knife of a guitar. I had the Martin Company build me one in their custom shop, and well, it was still sitting there ready to ship. A couple other guitar players came in and tried it out and said, hey, I like this too. So they made a whole run of them called the Roger McGuinn HD7. And if you get one of these, you'll be able to play this right out of the box. Got my job with Bobby Darin. I was playing with the Chad Mitchell Trio. I was with them for a couple of years, and we toured South America for 90 days. And when we got back to the States, we played the Crescendo Club in Hollywood, opening up for Lenny Bruce. It was a pretty cool gig. And Lenny was hilarious when he wasn't in jail. And Bobby Darin was out in the audience. I guess he came to see Lenny, but he saw the Chad Mitchell set. So he came backstage after the show and he came up to me and said, hey, I liked what you were doing up there. I'm thinking about putting a folk segment in my act and I'd like to hire you. And I said, well, I've already got a job with the Chad Mitchell Trio. He said, what are they paying you? And I told him, he said, I'll double it. I said, okay. So I started working for Bobby Darin. It was a great gig because he'd come out and go, splish, splash, I'm taking a bath. Do this rock and roll thing for about 15 minutes, and he'd bring me out, and I'd play folk songs behind him and sing harmony, and then I'd leave, and he'd do his like Mac the Knife and Frank Sinatra stuff, and it was a great gig. But his voice started to bother him, so he took a break from performing, opened up a publishing company in the Brill Building, and he hired me as a songwriter, and my job was to listen to the radio and write songs like the ones already out there. So. Back in that time, Jan and Dean and Beach Boys were happening, so I thought I'd take a little stab at surf music. I came up with a surf song, and I took it down the hall to Bobby and played it for him, and he liked it. He picked up the phone, and he booked a studio downstairs in the Brill Building, and he played drums on this thing, and I played guitar, and my friend Frank Gehry played piano, and we all kind of shouted and clapped our hands, and hey, made a record. I'll give you a little sample if you won't laugh too hard, okay?
Summer's here and it's time to have a party. We're going to the beach, we're going to have a beach ball. Got a car full of hot dogs and a truck full of soda. We're going to keep it swinging until next fall. Oh, we're having a beach ball. Everybody's feeling fine. Oh, we're going to have a beach party. Could you find a better way to spend the summer time? Yeah, 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 yeah.
Find a better way to spend the summer time.
So Bobby got us a record deal on his label, Capitol Records, and we had to come up with a name for the group. So we thought about it. We said, oh, what about the City Surfers? Because we're all from the city and we didn't know how to surf. And so it came out on Capitol Records. It's probably one of the shortest-lived acts in show business. Got some airplay in New York City, not much else. But some years later, I was down at the Criteria Studio in Miami recording with McGuinn, Clark, and Hillman. And while I was in the studio, the next studio over, the Bee Gees were in there. And they came up to me and said, "Hey, we sang background on a song you wrote." And I couldn't imagine the song I'd written the Bee Gees would have sung on. He said, "Yeah, it was called Beach Ball. It was number 6 in Australia." Well, right about that time, I was back in the Brill Building listening to the radio, and this came over the airwaves. Folk music chord changes in their rock and roll. Wow, that's a cool idea. So it gave me an idea of taking an old folk song like, "Oh, the water is wide, I cannot cross over, and neither have I wings to fly," and putting a Beatle beat to it like, "The water is wide, I cannot cross over, and neither have I wings to fly. Lift me up, oh, that can carry two, and both shall roam, my love and I." So I took that kind of souped-up folk music down to Greenwich Village and played it for the people in the coffee houses. They didn't like it. But the guy who ran the coffee house loved it. He put a sign outside the door that said, "Beatle impersonations." And the tourist buses were coming in. Boy, I thought, man, it's time to get out of New York. So I went out to Hollywood and got a job at the Troubadour Folk Club, opening up for Hoyt Axton. Now, I'd known Hoyt before. In fact, I sang on his first album, The Balladeer. We did a song called Brisbane Ladies. And that was the first time I got to sing on a record. He gave me a break because I just played guitar and banjo on records before. So Hoyt and I were old buddies, and he was doing great, and I was doing folk songs with the Beatle beat. The audience just didn't like it. They didn't like it. Well, one guy in the audience did like it. He came backstage and said, "Hey, I get what you're doing. I like the Beatles, and I like folk songs. Let's write some songs and see what happens." So Gene Clark and I sat down in the front room of the Troubadour and started writing songs. And this is one of the first songs we came up with. It was later recorded by a group called the Turtles. They got a number 6 hit with it.
"You show me how to do exactly what you do, how I fell in love with you. Oh, it's true, I'm in love with you. And you show me how to say exactly what you say in that very special way. Oh, it's true, you've found for me too.
Writing songs in the front room of the Troubadour every day. And one day this chubby little guy walked in and started singing harmony with us. And it sounded good. He said, I want to be in your band. I said, well, we don't really have a band, David. We're just writing some songs here. He said, oh, come on, man. If I could be in your band, I know this guy's got a recording studio we could use for free. I said, you're in. So David Crosby took us over to meet his friend Jim Dixon, who was a producer engineer at World Pacific Records in Hollywood. And Jim kind of took us under his wing. He became our manager right away. And he let us play on the tape machines after all the sessions were over at World Pacific. And that's when we discovered that we needed more instrumentation. We needed a bass player and a drummer to sound like a rock and roll band. So we saw this guy walking in front of the troubadour, looked just like two of the Rolling Stones. We said, let's get him. Got Michael Clark to come over and said, hey, you know how to play the drums? I said, well, I play a little congas, man. Good enough. We got some cardboard boxes and taped a tambourine on top of them. We got him some drumsticks, and he learned how to play drums on that. And then we had this $35 bass that we picked up. And we got Chris Hillman to come over from Westwood. He was in a bluegrass band called the Scottsville Squirrel Barkers. And we gave him the bass and said, here, figure this out. And he went, okay. He had it right away. He's a great mandolin picker, a great guitar player. So we had a bass player and kind of a drummer. And we were looking for some good instruments. We had the cardboard boxes, acoustic guitar, $35 bass. So we went to see the Beatles movie, A Hard Day's Night, and copied down what the Beatles were playing. So, okay, Ringo Starr has Ludwig drums. We got to get some Ludwig drums. George Harrison had a Gretsch guitar. We got to get a Gretsch guitar. John Lennon had a Rickenbacker. We got to get a Rickenbacker. And then George came out with another Rickenbacker. It looked like a six string from the front. But when he turned sideways, he could see six other tuning pegs sticking out the back. I went, oh, that's an electric 12-string. I got to get one of those. So we got a loan, and we traded in my acoustic guitar and a 5-string banjo and some cash and got one of those Rickenbacker electric 12s like that. So we had good instruments, but we were looking for a name. Sitting at the Thanksgiving table, just trying to cook up a name. Somebody said, what about the Birdsies? I said, oh no, that's too cute. You couldn't use that. They said, well, what about the Birds? Well, this is 1964. Birds was slang for girls in England. We didn't want to be the girls. They said, that's simple. You just change the spelling. What about B-U-R-D-S? Ooh. So we came up with a Y and we got a name. Now, Jim Dixon arranged for us to audition for this big agent in Hollywood named Benny Shapiro. So we went over to Benny's house and sang a couple of songs, and we didn't know it, but he had a teenage daughter upstairs. She came running down the stairs all excited. Daddy, Daddy, who's that? She thought the Beatles were in her living room. The next day, Miles Davis came over to talk to Benny because it was his agent. And Miles is sitting there. Benny says, you know, a funny thing happened last night. These kids came over to audition, and my daughter flipped out. She thought they were great. Miles said, well, kids have a way of knowing things like that. So he picked up the phone and he called Columbia Records. He said, you know that rock band you've been looking for? I think I got it for you. And they signed us on his recommendation. But Columbia Records was very conservative in 1964. They had classical music, Broadway show tunes, Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet, and Doris Day. That was it. They didn't have any rock and roll. And they're a little bit scared of it. So the deal they gave us was for one single. And if we got a hit with that single, we could go back in the studio and record the rest of the album. So nobody thought any of our songs were strong enough. And Jim Dixon had overheard a couple of record producers in Hollywood talking about Bob Dylan and saying, gee, it's a shame Bob can't use that great new song you just wrote because somebody was singing out of tune on it. They sent to New York and got a copy of this demo sent out from Whitmark and Sons, Bob Publishing Company at the time. And we all sat around on the floor of the World Pacific Studio listening to this demo. It was about 4 minutes and 13 seconds long. And here's what we heard. You got 4 minutes? Yeah. Sounded like this. Hey, there's a tambourine man playing a song for me. My sleepy hand is no place I'm going to. Hey, Mrs. Hammer, you're mad with a song for me.
on your magic swirling ship. All my senses having a sphere. My hands can feel the grip. My toes too numb to step. Wait only for my boogies to be wandering. Frozen leaves, the frightened haunted trees, out to the windy beach, back from the twisted reach of crazy sorrow. I'll dance beneath the diamond sky with one hand waving free, silhouetted by the sea, circled by the surface sand, with all memory and pain, till I make the day the way that we forget about today. It's not even anyone, it's just a skating on the run. And but far the skies there are no faces facing. And if you have a trace in the skipping wheels awry, to your family even pie, I wouldn't pay it any mind. It's just a ragged clown behind, and it's a shadow that you're seeing that he's chasing. Hey, there's a tambourine that plays a song for me. I'm not sleepy, and there's no place I'm going to. Hey, there's a tambourine that plays a song for me. In the jingle jangle, falling out, I'm following you. David Crosby said, I don't like it, man. He said that folky 2-4 time is not going to play on the radio. Well, he was right. They were playing the Beatles and the Stones. They weren't playing a lot of folk music anymore. So I had an idea of how to fix that song up for radio. I've been playing around on my guitar with a little Bach. I thought, what if I put something like that on the front and the back for an intro and an outro? And we cut it down to one verse and kick it up with a beetle that might come out okay for radio. Came out like.
Thank you.
okay. Got a number one hit in 13 countries, and got to tour England. That's really exciting. Went over to where the Beatles and the Stones were, and we got to meet them and hang out with them at parties. And on the way home, we wanted to write a song about the tour. Gene Clark and I were sitting next to each other on the airplane. And Gene said, "How high do you think this plane is flying?" I said, "Oh, probably about 39,000 feet, maybe 7 miles high." He said, "Seven, huh?" Because the Beatles had a song I called 8 Days a Week. He thought the number 8 was cooler than 7. I said, "Well, we can change it to 8 miles high. Who's going to care? It's poetic license, right?" But I was wrong about that, because when the radio stations got a hold of it, they got a calculator out. And they did the math. And they said, "Wait a minute. Commercial airliners don't fly 8 miles high. They must be talking about some other kind of high, man." Over the years, the song has evolved. It's got a little bit of John Coltrane, some Ravi Shankar, and some Andre Segovia thrown in just for fun. Thank you.
till everything turns, turns, turns. There is a season, turns, turns, turns. And a time to every bird under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to love, a time to be.
Sing the turn, turn, turn.
Feel everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season.
Six-show tour in all the islands, or four islands. And I'm going to sing a song the sailors used to sing when they would leave the ship, and it's kind of wistful because the ship had been at home for a long time.
I thought I heard the old man say, "We are jolly leaver. It's a long hard pull for your next day, day. It's time for us to leaver, leaver, jolly leaver. Oh, leaver, jolly leaver. Oh, the voyage is done, the winds don't blow, and it's time for us to leaver."
Can you sing that chorus with me?
Leaver, jolly leaver. Oh, leaver, jolly leaver. Oh, the voyage is done, the winds don't blow, and it's time for us to leaver. Oh, the skipper was mad, but the mate was worse. Leaver, jolly leaver. He blew you down with a spike and a curse, and it's time for us to leaver, leaver, jolly leaver. Oh, leaver, jolly leaver. Oh, the voyage is done, the winds don't blow, and it's time for us to leaver. Oh, poor young lovers, or you'll get no pay. Leaver, jolly leaver. Oh, poor young lovers, and then delay. And it's time for us to leaver. Leaver, jolly leaver. Oh, leaver, jolly leaver. Oh, the voyage is done. It's time for us to leave her.
Thank you so much for coming on.